To St. James Westminster on this Labor Day weekend. It's good to see everyone here. I have a host of announcements. So, Andrea, why don't you come up first while I gather myself together, and you can start us off.
Good morning, everybody. I'd like to invite you to the final concert of our series that is going to take place tomorrow at 2 o'clock on my front yard. It is featuring Laurent Siguenz singing some French and English folk songs and other such wonderful stuff with Steve and with Paul and who else? We never know. So please feel free to come. Just bring a lawn chair. It's always been a wonderful time and we've had a great summer with the concerts. So please join us and make this one the best one yet.
Thank you. All right, here we go. If you are looking for a way to contribute, we are looking for volunteers for the nursery, for Sunday school, and for the Kids Camino. So feel free to come and talk to me afterwards if you are looking for opportunities to help kids grow in faith. We also have to give a huge thank you to Ralph for being with us, I think, all summer. Ralph? As well as the soloists who have led us in music through the summer, the choir is back next week. So please take a moment after the service to thank Ralph personally. Next week is Roundup Sunday. We go back to two services at 8:30 and 10:30. We are blessing backpacks. So bring your backpacks, your briefcases, the purse or bag you bring to work. Bring it all, and we will bless them. After the 10:30 service, we'll have Roundup Sunday, complete with wine tastings for a new Eucharistic wine, Project Hope chili, tables from every ministry in the parish to tell you what we're doing and how you can get involved. We have invitations for you to take home today so that when you see your friends and neighbors, you can share with them how much you love St. James and how much you'd like to see them here. Also, my memory, which is not the best, appears to be catching. And so Michael would like you to know that if you lead a ministry and have made a presentation or poster for Roundup Sunday in the past, and he hasn't called you, you are still on the hook. He's just forgotten. So, if that applies to anybody, please know we would like to see your posters next week. And finally, if you go into the vestry after the service today, you will notice that it looks a little bit bigger than it has. I've been told that maybe for 5 or more years, the organ pipes have been in the vestry. They are in the organ now. Thanks be to God and Doug Kenyon and Tom Churchill and his son for getting that work done and the organ up in excellent shape. I think that's it. Maybe?
I don't remember.
Hopefully, neither of us can remember. Please stand for our opening hymn. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God,
to you all our sorrow, all desires are known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Lend us thoughts by our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may earnestly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord.
author and giver of all good things, graft in our hearts the love of your name, increase in us true religion, nourish us in all goodness, and of your great mercy, keep us in the same. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the proclamation of the word.
A reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, what wrong did your ancestors find in me that they went far from me and went after worthless things and became worthless themselves? They did not say, where is the Lord who brought us up from the land of Egypt, who led us in the wilderness and in a land of deserts and pits, in a land of drought and deep darkness, in a land that no one passes through, where no one lives? I brought you into a plentiful land to eat its fruits and its good things. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. The priests did not say, where is the Lord? Those who handled the law did not know me. The rulers transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and went after things that do not profit. Therefore, once more I accuse you, says the Lord, and I accuse your children's children. Cross to the coasts of Cyprus and look. Send to Kedar and examine with care. See if there has ever been such a thing. Has a nation changed its gods, even though there are no gods? But my people have changed their glory for something that does not profit. Be appalled, O heavens, at this. Be shocked. Be utterly desolate, says the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and dug out cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns that can hold no water. The word of the Lord.
Sing with joy to our God, our strength, and raise a loud shout to the God of Jacob.
I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and said, open your mouth wide, and I will fill it.
And yet my people did not hear my voice, and Israel would not obey me.
So I gave them over to the stubbornness of their hearts, to follow their own devices.
Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways.
I should soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes.
Those who hate the Lord would cringe before me, and their punishment would last forever.
But Israel would I feed with the finest wheat and satisfy them with honey from the rock. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose their places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place." And then, in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." And then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to one who had invited him, "When you give such a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Please be seated. Does anyone remember the TV show The West Wing? Yes, I see. Yeah, okay. It was an American political drama written by Aaron Sorkin that aired in the early 2000s. And I confess that it remains probably too large a part of my life than it deserves, but there we are. At the season finale of the second season, things are going exceptionally badly for President Bartlet and his administration. Everything that could go wrong has gone wrong. And we find ourselves at Washington National Cathedral at the end of the funeral for President Bartlet's administrative assistant, a woman who was like his big sister. After the service, Bartlet asked for a few moments alone. And as he walked up the main aisle, heading towards the altar, he starts tearing a strip off God. He is furious, just fed up with how badly things are going, and all his rage and frustration that has been building for the last few episodes spills out. As his tirade comes to an end, about here, Bartlet pulls a pack of cigarettes out of his pocket. He lights one, takes a long drag before he drops it on the marble floor, driving it into the cathedral floor with his shoe, and he walks away. It's a gripping scene. Maybe even more so when we learn that while they were rehearsing at the cathedral, Sorkin noticed that the clergy of the cathedral had begun to gather. He knew that the scene was controversial, so he went over to warn the clergy. But when he began to explain, a little apologetically, what Bartlet was about to do, the clergy said, "Yeah, we know. It's going to be great." Sorkin seemed a little surprised that the clergy of the cathedral recognized what Bartlet was going through. And I have to wonder whether it's a more common experience than we might think. At first blush, it can seem a little odd to say that we might be angry at God from time to time, or even that it might be normal to be angry with God. We owe God our praise and thanksgiving. We understand that God is bigger and greater and wiser than we are. So it can feel presumptuous and foolish and maybe even sinful to admit that we are angry and disappointed and hurt from time to time. And I wonder if it can feel dangerous to admit that. Like maybe it's the beginning of a slippery slope that could lead us away from God's love. And yet it seems to me that we hear God welcoming this exact thing in the reading from Jeremiah. It is true that God is the one who seems angry in this morning's reading. Israel has abandoned God, and not for the first time. And as God makes his case against them, God says, "They did not say, 'Where is the Lord who brought us up out of Egypt?' The priests did not say, 'Where is the Lord?'" God isn't just upset that Israel has abandoned her to worship gods that are not even there. God seems upset that they didn't even try to stay. Something had clearly gone wrong. The community had concerns and fears, but they didn't bring them to God. The priests failed to teach God's people how to lament, how to complain, how to petition God. And so despite all God's faithfulness in the past, the people didn't trust that God would hear their cries today. God is not upset that they were impertinent, daring to question. God is upset that they gave up. I don't suppose that it would be fruitful to only yell at God, to constantly approach the Lord of all creation with a list of complaints and perceived failings. And I think there are moments when being a person of faith is hard. When it feels like it might be easier to live with the injustice of the world without having to remember that all people are made in God's image. Times when believing in a good and loving God who we believe has the power to change things seems to add salt to the wound caused by violence and hatred. And in those moments, it's really tempting just to walk away. But it seems that God wants us to know that when that is how we are feeling, yelling is better than giving up. That God would rather hear our complaints than our silence. God would rather that we wrestle with the fury and rage if that is what we are feeling. God would rather love us as we actually are than have thousands upon thousands of mindless voices singing constant praise. Because God's love is big enough. God's shoulders are strong enough to carry whatever it is that we are carrying. We don't get a clear resolution to Bartlett's spiritual crisis at the end of the episode. And in the next scene, Bartlett is in the Oval Office, and having vented his rage, he is able to consider the situations that plague him a little more calmly. And he decides how he will respond. Through the next episodes and seasons, it becomes clear that Bartlett has not, in fact, abandoned God. That was a tough moment in a long journey. So rest assured Our anger, when we feel it, may well scare us, but it does not scare God. And thanks be to God for that. Let us stand and confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God. Please adopt a position of prayer.
God of abiding mercy, we will rejoice in you. Generous God, you draw us deeper into your love, and our hearts resound in your praise. Fill your church with your bountiful goodness, that we may reach out to touch those beyond our usual gaze. Make us hospitable, welcoming all as if your son. God of abiding mercy, we will rejoice in you. Generous God, you exalt those regarded as lowly and humble those used to worldly honor. Save all in high office from becoming contemptuous of the people they serve. Train us in the humility that respects and furthers the common good. God of abiding mercy, we will rejoice in you. Generous God, you share your bread with sinners and pilgrims equally, that all may grow in the likeness of your Son. We pray for all with whom we share in this banquet of your grace. Increase the bonds that unite us in your fellowship. God of abiding mercy, we will rejoice in you. Generous God, you promise that you will never forsake your people. Be with all who feel shrouded in darkness or fear, all anxious about what the future will hold, whose illness brings them close to despair. May your light shine in the dark places. We think today especially of Gavin, Linda, Andrew, Diane, Brian, Jocelyn, Catherine, Kelly, Deb, Ronalee, Vicky, Don and Nancy, Jovia, Sherry, John, Bill, Beth, Andrew, Scott, Gail, Philip, Mary, Arnold and Marilyn. God of abiding mercy, we will rejoice in you. Generous God, we praise and bless you for your eternal mercy. In this faith, we remember with love all who have died. Especially, we pray for John, may he rest in peace, nephew of Bet Cunningham. May we all come to hear you invite us into your nearer presence. God of abiding mercy, we will rejoice in you.
Dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry if we have repented. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may be light in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Please stand. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Merciful God, receive all we offer you this day. Give us grace to love one another, that your love may be made perfect in us. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks.
We give you thanks and praise, Almighty God, through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. He is your living Word, through whom you have created all things. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh of the Virgin Mary and shared our human nature. He lived and died as one of us to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. In fulfillment of your will, he stretched out his hands in suffering to bring release to those who place their hope in you. And so he won for you a holy people. He chose to bear our griefs and sorrows and to give up his life on the cross that he might shatter the chains of evil and death and banish the darkness of sin and despair. By his resurrection, he brings us into the light of your presence. Now, with all creation, we raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. And gracious God, accept our praise through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on the night he was handed over to suffering and death, took bread and gave you thanks, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This is my blood, which is shed for you. When you do this, you do it in memory of me." Remembering, therefore, his death and resurrection, we offer you this bread and this cup, giving thanks that you have made us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. We ask you to send your Holy Spirit upon the offering of your holy church. Gather into one all who share in these sacred mysteries, filling them with the Holy Spirit and confirming their faith in the truth, that together we may praise you and give you glory through your servant, Jesus Christ. All honor and glory are yours, Father and Son, with the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Church, now and forever. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The divine is the kingdom, the power,
we break this bread to share in the body of Christ. The gifts of God for the people of God.
Feast.
Hallelujah.
I come with Christians far.
Please stand as we continue in prayer. Almighty God, you renew us at your table with the bread of life. May your holy food strengthen us in love and help us to serve you in each other. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you this day and always. Amen.
The kingdom of God is just a
My friends, go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.